Yeah, when I was younger, I was always interested in the forests, wildlife, as my really what I wanted to get involved in. Being born in London, I was born in East London, that doesn't really exist, and it certainly didn't exist back then. There's now career paths for people wanting to get into conservation and forestry. But for some strange reason, I took a job to work in an office, and I worked in the office for a year and a week. I hated it. And I just knew I needed to get outside. So in thinking about this subject, working outside, I saw an advert for a trainee apprentice gardener. And I took that apprenticeship to get me to work outside. But then very soon after, I see what was an early tree gang, just a few guys working on trees around St. Paul's Cathedral. And I thought, well, that's working with trees. And it's not quite forestry, but I'm still working with trees. And I thought, I need to work with trees. I'd been as an apprentice for a year or so. My apprenticeship was 5 years, but really 2 years into that apprenticeship I started to work with a tree gang whenever I could, weekends and whenever there was a job I'd volunteer for it to be on it, to go to work with the trees. So by the time my apprenticeship had finished, I knew I wasn't going to be going to landscaping. I knew it was going to be trees. And really, somehow it was a surprise to me to find that it was such a buzz to do the work, to be able to climb the tree, climb all over the tree, and work with the tree, and see trees, branches lowered down, and felling trees, this sort of thing as well. It did give you such a buzz. And I think it's a trade, well, I know it's a trade where there's no happy medium. You can't just do tree work for years because it's a job. You either love it or hate it. There's no middle ground. And I loved it. It was in my blood. I was never going to do anything else. There'd been the occasion where you think, oh, I need to get out of this because it's heavy today or it's pouring of rain and you've got a tree to do or whatever. But I think it was in your blood. You're not going to really have another lifestyle at all. You're going to stick with it. Arboriculture is an unnatural industry where we're bringing trees into an unnatural environment, into town. And as soon as you do that, you've got to work on a balance between having trees, being safe, and maintaining the trees, keeping the trees. Therefore, they will need to be pruned or at least climbed and checked out on a regular basis so you can have the trees in town. If we didn't do that, you'd have to remove the trees from the town altogether because obviously they'd be dangerous. And I think that's the point that people fail to... They get mixed up with conservation, which is great in the countryside, and arboriculture, which is obviously based in town. It's a misconception to think that a tree surgeon is someone who hates trees and wants to cut them all down. I would say 9 times out of 10 it's the reverse, where they love trees and want to be working with trees to maintain trees, to keep trees for the future. 25 years ago when I first climbed trees, really what you were looking for is a guy that's prepared to climb a tree, free climb a tree, with no ropes, no harnesses. So of course it was a high risk job. And most of the most dramatic accidents come from those times, really. So, I mean, when I first climbed, we would put a ladder up a tree, get into the crown of the tree, and then climb as far as you could with a saw by your side. So when you got to that point, you could then cut the limbs. Disadvantages, really. One is, obviously, it's nowhere near as safe, nowhere near it. And secondly, you were limited to how far you could climb into the tree. So you would prune the tree at that point, which might mean cutting off a lot more than you would need to, which is detrimental to the health of the tree. But that's pretty much all we knew. So we did produce a lot of branches on the ground, and of course we never had wood chippers, so you couldn't just feed it for a wood chipper on tobacco lorry. Guys developed skills to stack branches onto the back of a lorry rather like stacking hay onto the back of a truck, you know. And so you'd end up with this great big blob of branches on the back of a flatbed lorry, which would be driven off to a site to be tipped into a landfill site, which you can't do now. Or some guys would burn on site or burn at their yard, which was common, but of course there's restrictions on that now where you can't, with the Clean Air Act in London and in any city, you can't do that. So certainly the wood chipper for the guys today has made it easy for those guys, where we literally had to manhandle everything. It was far more labour intensive. The chainsaws were a lot heavier, weren't as efficient, would break down more, never had the safety features on them that they do now. And so climbers would get like white finger, like the coal miners do, because of the vibration off their chainsaws. Fortunately, I didn't. I mean, I've got tight joints from using chainsaws for too long. It was really common with climbers, you know, using chainsaws back then. The and saws were different, you know, bow saws, you know, it's heavy, hard work, sawing limbs off by hand, where today's modern saws are, you know, are far more efficient. Harnesses, you know, when I first climbed, we just free climbed, we didn't have harnesses, but these days you've got harnesses, there's lots of different types of harnesses used in conjunction with a rope, so you can put a rope up a tree, a climbing rope, which will enable you to climb anywhere in the tree, even on the thinnest branches, and you can still do it safely. With rope and harness, you know, you're not going to come out of a tree. We'll also have helmets these days, which guys never had helmets when I was younger either, for falling wood. If you had a fall out of a tree, which does happen occasionally, that sort of thing. So you've got a rope, harness, helmet for a climber. I can remember being introduced to chainsaw trousers so that you can cut your trousers with a chainsaw and it won't pass through to your leg. That net, we never used to have, guys would climb trees in jeans when I was a youngster. But now everyone must wear chainsaw trousers and chainsaw proof boots as well. Basic equipment everyone has. Even if you're not climbing, you still wear those boots and trousers. Teamwork is essential. It's the most important part of what we do. A climbing arborist will be the guy who climbs up the tree and does all the prunings, etc. A groundsman will assist the climber in as much as lowering limbs from the ground with a lowering rope or sending him up the tree, anything he needs. And he might be able to direct him as well with bits that he might have missed or not pruned enough that he can see from the ground, because you get a different view of the tree from the ground. And the groundsman will also deal with getting rid of the debris, getting rid of the branches to his wood chipper, etc. So the chip is collected on the back of the lorry. There's various ways in which companies will deal with that wood chip now. Certainly, us as one of the larger companies in London, we have a recycling centre. So our wood chip all goes to a recycling centre. We've got a big, big chipper over there, which we bought from Denmark, which we can put all our big trunks through as well. And all the wood chip is then sold to a power energy company, Slough Eaton Power, which they will then use that wood chip to burn to create energy. A lot of the smaller companies, of which there's many, don't have that facility. Some of them will stockpile their wood chip, not quite knowing what to do with it. You can't tip it into landfill sites now because of the gases that it creates, which can cause explosions. So they'll rather stockpile it, or they might sell it as garden mulch once it's broken down a bit and that sort of thing. And so getting rid of wood chip for smaller companies is quite a problem.